Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday morning to the Rod Peterson Show, episode 106. Thanks to our Hour 1 guests, who were just fantastic. Daryl the Bandit Rommel from CTV Regina and Eric Greiba, seven-year NHLer, now playing senior hockey in Kindersley and loving life. We'll be talking a little World Series we have to with RV. As a matter of fact, I'll get to that next. But first, our weekly feature, which we love here because we're such junior hockey fans, the Sask Snowbeef WHL Prospect Profile. And just to get into it, last night in the dub, there were only two games. Winnipeg beat Lethbridge 4-3 in a shootout. Kelowna blanked Victoria 1-0. And there are no games until Friday. And the Blades were off last night. And we're going to Saskatoon. That's who we're featuring here. Nolan Meyer, goaltender of the Saskatoon Blades. 6'1", 175. He's in his third year with the Blades. He's out of Yorkton, Saskatchewan, wears number 73. And Darren, I'll just shut up now because that's your team, the Blades. And you love this kid.
Yeah. You know, he's a phenomenal kid. He really is. But he's a great hockey player. Good goaltender. I mean, at 17, he was doing all of the things that, you know, 18 and 19-year-old goaltenders were doing in this league. And moves really well. We're talking about, during the break, a little bit of a crime that he wasn't drafted to the NHL. But he's got a lot of expectations on him this year, and he's been delivering, too. So I like the kid. He's a great goaltender. I think he's got a really bright future.
Sask Snowbeef presents the WHL draft profile, the prospect profile. And Ian Crosby of Crosby Holsteins and Sask Snowbeef is listening in Texas and says, listening live while en route with another side of Saskatchewan Snowbeef to Crave Kitchen and Local and Fresh. Because a lot of people have asked, where can we get this Sask Snowbeef? Wagyu beef, superior marbling and taste. You can get it at Crave Kitchen and Bar in their beef dishes. Plus, you can buy it for cooking at home at Local and Fresh. And they're also big sponsors of the Penn Sports Dinner coming up in a couple of weeks, featuring Bob Poley and Roger Aldag, or as we like to call them, Mr. and Mrs. Roger Poley. Thanks, Ian, for all you do in supporting the dub. Just before we delve into the CFL talk, and here's your hook on that. If you think every CFL player is on performance-enhancing drugs, I got news for you, bub. Cody Fajardo isn't. And I could name quite a few that are actually in the Ryder Hall of Fame and the CFL Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Not everyone is on performance-enhancing drugs. So don't say they all are. And I want to get Rob's take on Winnipeg, the Bombers, and all the rest moving forward here into the playoffs. But with the Washington Nationals winning the World Series, and it was quite a dramatic Game 7 on Wednesday night. What was the final? 6-2 to knock off the Houston Astros in an historic World Series. Rob Vanstone, who joins us from the Regina Leader Post. Was there any twinge of Expos in you? Because there was to me when they were celebrating on the field at Minute Maid Park. I'm like, that's my Expos. But it's not really our Expos.
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, I'm a fan of Winnipeg Jets 1.0, and then they left, and I just, the Phoenix / Arizona Over. Coyotes didn't resonate with me, nor do I think of the Jets as the Atlanta Thrashers. I had this debate / argument with my great friend Ian Hamilton yesterday, and Ian is regarding this Washington Nationals victory as if it was, or close to, as if it were a Montreal Expos victory. I don't get any of that. I don't attach any, draw any link from this, even though it is there technically. This doesn't make me think Gary Carter, Steve Rogers, Ellis Valentine, Jeff Reardon, John Boccabella, Boots Day. It doesn't. My wife said to me, yay, Expos. What it represents was the Expos leaving Montreal and me being devastated.
Right. Pain so for a lot of people.
It almost takes me in the other direction. I love those Expos teams. I absolutely lived and died with them 162 games a year. The Mike Schmidt home run off Stan Bonson in 1980 still bothers me. Rick Monday still bothers
me. And the
94 still bother. Yeah. A lot of things still bother me. And so it's almost rubbing salt in the wounds for me as one who started cheering for the Expos in 1972. It's like rubbing salt in the wounds. Okay, you can't do this in Montreal, but then you move to Washington
And well, you know, the whole situation's ugly because when we found out that the Nats were going to the World Series, somebody suggested, one of our viewers or listeners, that would they have a World Series parade in Montreal down St. Catharines if they won it? And once I did some digging, not a chance. There's no way. They're pissed in Montreal that the team left. They're still upset. And that Washington turned their back on Montreal, and it's an ugly situation. And I think if the Jets hadn't returned... I can't speak for Winnipeg because I haven't lived there. You're the fan. Like, if the Arizona Coyotes had lifted the Stanley Cup, would you have felt anything?
Not a thing. It would have bugged me. It would have. That's just not right. It should have been the Jets doing it. When the Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup in 1996, were there any parades in Quebec City? No. It's like you feel like you've been stood up. It's awful.
That's why I got punched though.
Yeah.
I felt something last night, and I'm not exactly sure what it was. It wasn't good. I'm like, that's my team winning the World Series, but it's not.
That's my girl.
With another guy.
Having getting married or doing whatever with another guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the feeling, I think.
That's what I got last night.
That gut punch, yeah. Maybe, you know, because everything's been so great. You haven't felt that gut punch in a little while.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time, but it just, when they spilled out of the dugout, there was this weird feeling. Anyways, moving on to CFL talk. We have a live studio audience today. It's our friend Nelson, who has updated us that the Riders have moved to 9 to 11 point favorites for Saturday's game. He says, good call earlier this week, Roddy, because I had said with Trevor Harris being sat down, I predicted a 12-point Rider bulge. And that may be the case by Saturday with Trevor Harris not playing. I don't think I've asked you about that, RV, yet. Your take on this Saturday's game and how the Eskimos are just laying down for the Riders here to win their 13th game.
Maybe this is a sign of age, but and it maybe goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, Rod, about the dangers of presuming, especially with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But I think over a wider swath, the dangers of presuming in the Canadian Football League. I remember 1976, the Rough Riders had to go to Calgary and beat the Stampeders to clinch first place in the West on the final day of the regular season. And Calgary entered that game with a 2-11-2 record. Riders went in 10-5. All they needed to do was beat this horrible Calgary team, quarterbacked by John Huffnagel. Calgary was leading 24-0, 27-8. Riders, Ronnie brought him back. Last play of the game, he hit Rhett Dawson for the touchdown. The Riders win 33-31. So that Calgary team was far less of an opponent than the Edmonton Eskimos are going to be on Saturday. 1983, the Riders went to Calgary on the final weekend of the regular season. Riders were the bad team. They had a rookie named Homer Jordan starting a quarterback. Calgary just needed to win to get into the playoffs. And the Riders won 27-23 and knocked Calgary out of the playoffs. So you never really know. And yeah, that's ancient history. But I think it also demonstrates that there is a danger in presuming. And I'm always wary of anything being perceived as a given when you're talking about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, because just goofy things and unpredictable things are part of their history way back to 1910 when I started covering the team.
Well, it's just funny that from what we hear, the Bombers and Stampeders are upset that the Eskimos are treating this game as a practice because their fate kind of hinges on the Riders winning and playoff seeding and so forth. And I also love that Jason Maz is saying, I don't care what you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control what we do, and I'm doing what's best for my team. Often, we did cover that last hour. I'll come back around on that on RV, but just with Cody Fajardo, what I was saying earlier before we started this with the performance-enhancing drugs, strongest thing I think this guy's ever had is milk. Like so many people have said, is he real? Can he be this genuine and wholesome? I think he's even more wholesome than people think.
Yeah, because we don't, as much as he's in the media and everything, we still don't know him that well. How many people have had the opportunity to sit down and chat with him for an extended period? I haven't. I've dealt with him in media scrums. I've seen the way he interacts with fans, but that's just a snippet of the overall, or the smallest fraction of the overall time that he's spent in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine the amazingly nice things that he's done that people aren't even talking about. He just seems to be a genuinely good-natured, thoughtful, right out of Central Casting person. I don't think you can, and you know, we did a story earlier this year in which Murray McCormick, our football writer, talked to some people who had coached him in university, etc., and if you look back through time, the things they're saying about him now, as far as his connection with the Rough Riders, are pretty much the same accolades he was receiving and the same plaudits he was receiving when he was in high school, when he was in university. You know, you talk to Travis Lule or Ricky Ray about him, and they're saying the same things. He's just a tremendous person who happens to play quarterback very well.
Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, is watching this morning, joining us for coffee. Thank you, Smitty. And he says, man, I love Rob Vanstone. Could listen to him for hours.
Yeah, and you have, Craig. I'm sorry about that.
And you have. I think we all could, Smitty. And by the way, we're going to have to interrupt this chat at some point as Brendan Batchelor will be joining us, the voice of the Vancouver Canucks. But RV, you're far better at the numbers than me. So we can talk about what a great person Cody Fajardo is. But even Cody told me off air that if they don't win, if he doesn't personally win, he knows the love will end like that. It's not just Rider fans. That's hardcore football fans in general. He knows it. But the numbers that he's putting up are astounding, jaw-dropping, record-breaking for a first-year Rider starting quarterback.
In terms of wins and losses, I mean, it's amazing.
And yards and everything.
You know, 18 touchdown passes is a modest total. But if you look at the fact that he's run for 10 touchdowns, and eight of them have been on design runs. Usually he got used to get touchdowns by and large with the, as a result of the quarterback sneak. Rider fans will remember the 2017 East Final when he did that for Toronto. But the win-loss record is what really gets me, especially when, and you alluded to it earlier in the show, the circumstances and Zach Collaros being hurt so early in the year. Cody Fajardo was a first-year starting quarterback who nobody was even talking about, or very rarely, or very few people were talking about coming into the year, has won 12 games as a Saskatchewan Rider starting quarterback. He's the first Rider quarterback since Ron Lancaster in 1970 to post that many victories as a starter. So we're talking almost 50 years.
It's unbelievable.
And look at the quarterbacks they've had since then.
Some good ones.
You know, I mean, my goodness. And Cody Fajardo comes in as his first-year starter, who wasn't supposed to be a first-year starter, and he's the one ringing up 12 victories. I don't think you can blather on enough about him. He's amazing.
Pause this discussion for a second. As promised, Brock Besser's third goal of the night was the eventual winner as the Vancouver Canucks downed the LA Kings 5-3 last night at Staples Center. Bo Horvat and Elias Pettersson also scored for the Canucks, who had four power play goals in the win. Brendan Batchelor called the game on Sportsnet 650 Vancouver, and he joins us today from beautiful Southern California. Batch Hockey, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Good, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Rob Vanstone and Darren DuPont with us. Do you have an early head start on Movember, Batch? Because I don't ever remember that duster anytime I've seen you before.
Yeah, a little bit of an early head start. It was part of a Halloween costume as well, and I've decided to keep it for the moment anyway. So.
Did you guys have a big Halloween party in L.A. last night? Tell us more.
No, it was back home before leaving for the trip. But certainly the Canucks were enjoying themselves after the win last night. They're now 8-1-1 in their last 10 games. You talk about the power play and how strong it was last night. It's been on fire since they moved the young defenseman Quinn Hughes onto the top power play unit with Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser. And everything is coming up roses for the Canucks right now.
Do you remember the last time you were on, the Canucks started 0-2 and they were already starting to panic and you were like, well, you weren't panicking and you know you'll never convince Canucks fans not to. And you accurately predicted that Bo Horvat would be the captain too. So what did you see with that team in the early going that maybe others didn't?
Well, especially the opening game in Edmonton, I thought they deserved a better fate in that game. They probably weren't at their best in the loss in Calgary, but they came back home and, you know, in the very next game after we talked, they faced the Kings at the home opener and beat them 8-2. And really since then, you know, with a couple of blips, including a comfort behind loss against the Washington Capitals, they've been firing on all cylinders. They've been getting scoring from throughout their lineup. Their top players have really heated up of late. Elias Pettersson is on a 5-game point streak and has 12 points in that stretch, including 4 last night. Brock Besser also had the hat trick, as you mentioned, as well. So at the moment, it's not just that their top players are scoring. It's that they've been getting production from throughout the lineup. They've got a much deeper defense this year than they've had in the past. And their goaltending has been some of the best goaltending in the NHL. Going into the game yesterday, their team save percentage was 4th in the league with Jacob Markstrom and Thatcher Demko.
Brennan, yeah, you talk about some of these things that are going really well, which is awesome. I mean, Andrew Walker came on this show, you know, early on in the season or just prior to the start of the season and said that, you know, the Canucks, in his mind, were the most improved team in the offseason in terms of moves that were made, changes, and this team growing right now. So he expected the team to be a little bit better. What was the biggest difference from the end of last year through that offseason that's kind of sparked this quick start?
Well, in large part, it is the additions. And you look at guys near the top of the lineup like JT Miller, who has more points than anyone else that joined a new team to start this season. So in terms of everyone that was traded or signed with a new team in free agency, he's got more points than anyone else in the NHL. So he's off to a great start playing with Pettersson and with Besser. And they've got Tyler Myers on the top defensive pairing with Alex Edler. But what those additions at the top of the lineup have done has slotted some of the other players down into roles that make more sense for them. You know, late last season, Josh Levo was being asked to play a top six role when, you know, he had been a healthy scratch for the Toronto Maple Leafs prior to being acquired. Now he's in a third line role. The expectations are such that he's getting, you know, matchups that make more sense for him further down the lineup. And they're just a deeper team in general. You know, last year that they had guys who have struggled at the NHL level playing regularly on their blue line. Now their third pairing is Jordy Benn, who's a seasoned veteran, and Troy Stecher, who has been a top four defenseman for this hockey club over the last few seasons. So the fact that they made additions near the top of the lineup that slotted guys down into roles that make more sense for them means they have added depth now. And because of that, you know, they've been getting production from their fourth line. Tim Schaller had 4 goals in 3 games coming into the game last night in Los Angeles. And Jake Virtanen as well, who right now is playing in the top six, was on a 3-game goal scoring streak. So these are not household names around the league by any means, but they're guys that are giving them a good effort and finding ways to help the team win right now with the roles they've been put in.
To what extent is this a validation of the blueprint of Jim Benning, considering all the heat that he had been facing as a result of the team's performances or lack thereof in previous years?
Well, it's certainly a validation of the moves he made this past offseason. You know, you can see JT Miller coming in, and obviously it's been a perfect fit with him for the organization. Tyler Myers on the blue line as well, Jordy Benn, you know, you can go down the list. And the drafting part of it is huge. When you look at the first round picks on this team that are now having major impacts, Quinn Hughes in his rookie season has been remarkable. Elias Pettersson continues to shine, Brock Besser too. There still have been some areas that Jim Benning can be rightly criticized for. Louis Erickson was a healthy scratch for 9 of the first 10 games, making $6 million, and is only back in the lineup now because of an injury to Tyler Motte on the fourth line. So this is a team that's up against the salary cap, even with where they've been over the last few years. So certainly there have been some moves from Jim Benning that you can look back at and say, okay, that probably wasn't the best decision. But at least looking back at this past summer and his drafting record, you can't fault what he's been able to do in terms of turning this team around relatively quickly from a club that wasn't in the playoff conversation last year to one that very certainly could be going down the stretch this season.
Hey, Batch, our producer, Clark, wanted to bring up the JT Miller trade and how angry everybody was on draft day. Clark was there, but you mentioned that he's been a key part of this 8-1-1 stretch. So obviously that's a move they do again.
Yeah, well, yes, to a certain extent, yes. They did give up a first-round pick in that trade, and that's where a lot of the concern in the market in Vancouver was coming from, because, you know, this is a young team and you want to add more young pieces to your stable of burgeoning stars that you have here. So there are still many people in Vancouver that say, you know, JT Miller's been great, but a first round pick is incredibly valuable. But that said, you see what he's done here thus far. And it seems like Jim Benning has been validated in making that move anyway.
And I guess lastly, I was on with you actually on Walker's show, if you recall, a couple of years ago. And I said, what a Travis Green fan I've been from his time in the WHL. I was a big believer in him. And you talk about healthy scratching, big names. That's Travis's work, right? I think he's going to be great there in Vancouver. What are your thoughts on the job he's done and will do?
Yeah, he's done a very good job over his first two seasons of trying to squeeze a lot out of a roster that didn't have very much. Now he's got some toys to play with, for lack of a better term. And he's talked throughout his tenure here. He's become known for tweaking and moving his lines around in-game to try and get things out of his players. And some people in Vancouver would say that he does it too much. But he has said routinely throughout the last couple of years that if he had the depth and he had the players and he had the horses, he would love to be able to roll out the same four lines every night and know that those guys are going to play consistently. Well, over this last stretch, we're starting to see that. JT Miller, Elias Pettersson, and Brock Besser have been aligned since, I believe, game number three of the season now. The fourth line that was Tim Schaller, Jay Beagle, and Tyler Mott, now Louis Erickson's playing there, has been together for the entirety of the season. And other than a couple of tweaks through the middle six forwards, those lines have looked very similar. He's run out the same three defensive pairs here, too. So I'm sure he's enjoying this as much as anyone else, seeing that he's finally got some consistency throughout his roster and he has some players that he feels he can trust to play against some of the top lines in the league. And, you know, he's trusted his fourth line to play some matchup minutes and they've answered the bell so far. So, I agree. I think he's done a very admirable job during his time with Vancouver. And now he's seeing the rewards of some of the tough work over the last couple of years.
Brendan, that's an outstanding Canucks update. I'm glad that you're having fun with the way the team's playing right now, and good luck in Anaheim. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rod. Appreciate it.
Brendan Batchelor, the voice of the Vancouver Canucks here on the Rod Peterson Show. We will be right back with RV, Rob Vanstone in the bunker, and Darren Dupont as well. Our curling insider, Kirk Myers, coming up. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our best clips on our YouTube channel.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rob.
Welcome back, everybody. Checking a Thursday morning sports update here. Almost out of contention in May. Champs in October. Howie Kendrick, Anthony Rendon, and the Washington Nationals completed their amazing comeback journey, fittingly with one final late rally on the road, this time in Game 7 of the World Series. Kendrick and Rendon homered in the seventh inning as the Nationals rallied past the Houston Astros 6-2 last night to claim the first title in franchise history. There are just two games in the NHL tonight, and they both feature Canadian teams on the road. The Flames are in Nashville. The Montreal Canadiens are also on the road visiting the Vegas Golden Knights. The 7-0 49ers travel to face the Arizona Cardinals tonight, and San Francisco enters the game on quite a roll. The 49ers crushed the Carolina Panthers 51-13 on Sunday and have been plowing through their schedule with one of the league's best defenses. Arizona's coming off a 31-9 loss to the Saints on Sunday. That is Thursday night football tonight. This sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RPSHOW fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. Rob Vanstone in the bunker with us. Darren DuPont as well here in episode number 106 of the program. Can I get your take, RV? We haven't yet. On the Andrew Harris kerfluffle and him being snubbed, if you will, by voters over his positive steroid test, because this is a days-long controversy that I don't think is going away. You know the guys well that voted, sorry, I should say didn't vote for Andrew Harris yesterday. Ted Wyman, Darren Bombing, Jeff Hamilton. Bob Irving did, and emphatically so, and proudly so, and he said it on Twitter. A, what would you have voted, and B, what is your take on the situation?
I would have not voted for Andrew Harris. I don't think that should have even been in the voters' hands. If you look at the National Football League, if someone's suspended for a violation of that nature, they're not in contention anymore for awards. And I don't think it should be the job of the media or the voters to be the conscience of the Canadian Football League. But I think they took that into consideration and just thought that's just not going to be a good look if on November 21st in Calgary, you've got someone who's been suspended suddenly getting one or two major awards. And it just didn't, the optics were not good. And I would have voted in a comparable fashion, but I'm not sure that Cody Fajardo's had a great year, and Brian Burnham and Reggie Begelton, you've got to have Andrew, just in terms of sheer performance, you've got to talk about Andrew Harris in the same breath when you look at the year that he has had, especially at age 32, a tremendous year. But what the fact remains that there was that suspension, and I think there was going to be that asterisk of that discussion. Mm-hmm. And but I think the league has got to bring in a rule that says if you have a suspension for along those lines in the season, that disqualifies you at least for that year from being in consideration for an award.
I got a problem with people pointing the finger at the CFL. I'm not saying you're doing it, but I've seen others do it. Some are Bomber fans, some are media, some national media are saying the same thing. And I'm saying, don't blame the CFL. This has never come up before. It's Andrew Harris's fault, not the CFL's fault. That's my take on that. I mean, and for the Bomber players to come out and in support of Andrew Harris, that's all great within their locker room. But we talked about it, Darren, in the opening rollout of the program today. The Bombers don't get to decide when the court of public opinion is done with him.
Mm-hmm.
The Bombers don't. So I credit those guys for standing up and voting in the way that they did. And as far as Bob Irving goes, in his shoes, I'd probably do the same thing. That's the unfortunate role of the play-by-play guy. You pretty much have to support every single thing the team does, whether you believe it or not. I believe that Bob believes what he's saying, but I think the right decision was made by those other three voters.
Yeah, I agree. I think the right decision was made. And I've said this before, yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Rob. I mean, he's had the suspension. That's part of his season. On the field, sure, he's been outstanding, but that suspension is part of the season. And with that outweighs a lot of the successes, and that has to be a factor for sure.
Would Zach Caleros leading the Winnipeg Blue Bombers into Mosaic Stadium be the biggest story in 20 years?
Well, always cheer for the angle when you do this for a living.
Right.
Or you do a sports mm-hmm. talk show for a living. And who would have imagined that? That would be an amazing story, and there probably aren't enough words on the internet, and there's enough space on the internet for everything that you'd want to say about that.
There's been some great stories. This one is
that,
right
that
up there.
That would be just, and who would have thought it? It would add even more spice to a game that is going to have a lot of intrigue and a lot of importance. I would love to see that happen. I think, and you know, there's also we'll never know what impact Zach Caleros could have had he been healthy for the playoffs last year. If you look at the Zach Caleros' stats weren't spectacular, his performance wasn't spectacular. He beat Calgary twice as a Rider starting quarterback.
Uh-huh.
He won in Calgary last October and nearly threw for 400 yards. And Chris Jones had figured out Bo Levi Mitchell. Now, Zach Caleros plays for the Riders on November 11th of last year against Winnipeg instead of Brandon Bridge. Hard to imagine the Riders don't end up going to Calgary again. And then you've got Zach Caleros who played his best football as a Rough Rider against Calgary. And you've got Chris Jones having figured out Bo Levi Mitchell. How history could have been rewritten in November 2018.
So would have been perfect.
Yeah, it would have been perfect. I kind of, you know, try and play the other side and think, well, can you beat Calgary three times in one season? That's pretty tough. But you're right. I mean, all he did was win football games, and they figured it out. And so it feels really, really good to see Zach Collaros healthy and having success. I just hope it continues.
Travis Kuntz writing in on the Facebook wall. He says, so if suspensions disqualify you, should Simone be nominated then? Sorry if I'm repeating this already. Just tuned in. No, Travis, we haven't talked about that. It's perfect timing, and it's a great question. In my mind, it's different. Can you put Mick's comment back up here? I love that our viewers are debating amongst themselves their take on that. Oh, Mick deleted it. He said the difference between a discipline situation versus a PED, I think they are different situations. Andrew Harris was caught cheating. Simone Lawrence was not. Mm-hmm. They're different infractions. Yes, they were both suspended, but different infractions. We're really splitting a hair here, but there is a difference.
Go ahead. Well, there's a big difference. The big difference, I mean, whether the amount that was in the substance, you know, that he got tested positive for affected his play or not, and we can go back and forth about that. Well, it's not enough to really impact him, to make him faster, to make him better. But you said that he had a performance-enhancing drug in his system. You've said he was cheating. So that has to impact, and it has to kind of almost discredit what he had done on the field up until that point. Whether it actually had an effect or not, the suspension and saying he was guilty of it has to at least play a factor. And in that sense, then you kind of can't say that it was the best season up until that point because it was affected by a performance-enhancing drug.
And it's easy to dismiss the Simone Lawrence suspension because it isn't in the same context. But if you look at it, I think you could turn it around and almost make an argument that that should be looked upon differently because in the case of Andrew Harris, there were no consequences for anybody except Andrew Harris. Nobody got injured. Nobody got hurt. But if you're looking at the Simone Lawrence situation, that was an injurious hit on June 13th that hurt another player and had consequences, or at least it seemed to have consequences at the time for another team. So in a way, leaving someone concussed with a late hit could be judged more harshly, or perhaps should be judged more harshly than a suspension along the lines of that which was received by Andrew Harris, but it just doesn't seem to resonate the same way.
It doesn't, and we don't have a Lady Bing trophy in the CFL, and if we did, he wouldn't be eligible for that one.
Right. Well, Andrew Harris is very much engaged, obviously, in this whole situation because he's part of it. We were talking in our pre-show meeting here that somebody wrote us on Twitter with Harris's stats since coming back from suspension, and they're not much different than pre-suspension. And Andrew liked that tweet. So, I mean, he's involved. He's watching what people are saying about him. And quite frankly, if he was on my team, I'd probably love him. It's very evident in Winnipeg. They all love Andrew Harris. He's a Winnipeg kid. He's a bomber great, all-time leading rusher in Canadian Football League history. But he did cheat, unfortunately, and got caught. It's just a very sad situation all around for everybody. But as I was reading some of my notes this morning on another area, it's called CBT, if anybody knows what that is, it says you have to look at life the way it is, not the way you think that it should be. And that very much fits the situation here, I think, for Andrew Harris and all Winnipeg football fans. RV, before we let you go, did our curling guy show up? Is Kirk here? Not yet? Well, maybe RV's sticking around for another segment, but to end this segment...
I'm nice and comfortable here.
It's so comfortable.
If you want me to continue to harm your ratings, I will happily do so.
It's so much fun in here. From Metal Shingle Guy, who is listening to our live audio feed at rodpeterson.com/listen-live today, regarding this Saturday's game and Trevor Harris being sat down. And you did kind of cover this earlier, RV, but I'll ask you again. He says, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Eskimos are still a playoff team. Coming in here PO'd. Trap game if there ever was. You did bring this up, but I'll ask you to bring it up again. Riders now an 11-point favorite for the football game. Craig Dickinson's not going to allow them to look past Edmonton this Saturday, is he?
Craig Dickinson and the Rough Riders have been very good at that this year. And a few times during the season, I've written, okay, this is a bit of a trap game. Be careful here. And they tend to win the games against opponents that they should defeat. That was the big difference when Ken Austin came in 2007. If you look at the period 2003 to 2006, they had good teams that year, not great teams, and they didn't have home playoff games. Why? Because in 2003, the Riders were the only team to lose to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. In 2004, they lost three times to a Winnipeg team that won seven games all season. 2005, they lost twice to an Ottawa Renegades team that was so successful that year that they promptly folded. And the following year, they couldn't beat an Edmonton Eskimos team that won seven games. And in each case, it was the failure to win those games that prevented them from having a home playoff game and perhaps greater success. 2007, what happens? Ken Austin comes here. The overall performance of the team was elevated, and they started taking advantage of the supposed free spaces on the CFL's bingo card. And if there was a team that they played with an inferior record, they beat that team. And that tradition carried on when Ken Miller took over as the head coach. They started beating the teams they should beat. And I see the same traits from this Craig Dickinson team.
Awesome. And our curling guy is here. So, RV, we'll let you adjourn. Thank you, as always.
It's a great pleasure. Thanks so much, Rod. And I'm not sure whether to call you Kelly or Darren, but thanks for coloring your hair, because I wasn't the, pardon me, grayest person on the panel today as a result.
DuPont dressed up as Kelly Rempel for Halloween.
And sorry for my chest cold.
You're all good. 100 Things Rough Riders Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die by Robert Vanstone, forward by David Ridgway. What do people need to know about where they can get it, RV?
Amazon, it'll be in Chapters Indigo very shortly, I'm told. It's at McNally Robinson in Saskatoon, so I hope people get it and enjoy it, and thank you for mentioning it again.
Curling Talk with Kirk Myers coming up next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday morning on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies, your episode after episode after episode season marathon, all in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Time to talk a little curling here on the Rod Peterson Show, because we got a ton of curling fans out here in Western Canada, and of course nationally. But Kirk Myers joins us, not only our curling insider, but an actual competitor, which I think is super cool to have you in both roles, Kirk. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I got home from North Bay from the first slam there late Sunday night, so I'm caught up on my sleep now, getting some practice in, and feeling good. I haven't dressed up like Dupes here, but we'll see what I can do maybe later tonight.
Say it again. Darren DuPont dressed as Kelly Remple for Halloween. And people are loving it. Good job, Dupes.
I appreciate it.
Getting in the Halloween spirit.
That was fun. And it's funny, when I first planned this, I didn't plan on wearing this sweater. I just had like a quarter zip, like Kelly wears some of those. And he was supposed to be here today, so I thought we'd be side by side. And then it turns out he was wearing the same sweater yesterday. And I just happened to have this one in my closet.
Worked out perfectly.
Perfectly.
Kirk is here dressed as a curler. And regarding mm-hmm. North Bay, I will ask you about curling up with a Cooey team in a moment. Let's talk about the Dunstone team winning the whole shebang. First Saskatchewan men's team to win a slam event since Glenn Despin's in 03.
That's right.
That's saying something.
Hey, it is. And I mean, the one thing about Despin's and Cordy is they were the original 18 too. So they were the 18 teams that started the slams. And Cordy won in 2002, Glenn Despin's won in 2003, and there hasn't been a winner since. So I think that's something the province should get excited about. My old team, Laycock, we lost the final in 2014 to Gushue in Yorkton. That was as close as a Saskatchewan team's been since then.
Wow. Yeah, so this is big.
This is big for Saskatchewan curling. I mean, we talk about it every year come February, March. Who's going to win the Brier? Are we going to end the 40-year drought? Dunstone goes out there, and Matt, I don't know if you guys watched any of it.
The shot. He made it the end.
Oh, my goodness.
Like right through the most narrow window, and I think like it just shows, like in Saskatchewan, it's so competitive amongst the teams, but we don't really see that because there's not the national, you know, success. And you always see it in Alberta because we're so familiar with Kevin Martin and Randy Furby and Dave Nettowin and Kevin Cooey, and because they continue to play nationally. But Saskatchewan's should be on that scene.
Well, that's just it. And I think you watched Matty. He was unconscious. He made the four highlight reel shots from the weekend were Matty Dunstone making absolute beauties. He broke down crying after he won. You realize how important these slams are to players nowadays. And I think it just sets up the province well for realizing that we can do it. We can win these big events. We can win big games. And now, you know, there's going to be a three or four teams that believe they can do it. And now whoever gets to that Brier is going to have that little extra confidence and sweat. Or that they know that they can earn it and they can go and win that thing.
Well, you talk about how overcome with emotion Matt Dunstone was, but how about Braden Muskoe, who put the rink together? There was not much made about him.
Yeah.
And his role in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you look at Braden, I mean, I've known him forever. He's turned into one of the best thirds in the game. He is a way to help his skips make big shots in big moments, be consistent. He makes a ton of shots. I know they showed Braden after the event too, or kind of when they were interviewing Matty, and it looked like he was pretty emotional too, because he realized how big that was for him. And when he put this together a couple of years ago, I know obviously talking to Braden through that time, what his goals were and what he wanted to do. I think it's kind of showing that it's all come together for him. And like I said, that's just a huge win to have the top 15 teams in the world and go out there and dominate like they did for a week. It was fun to watch. Not something I want to play against very often, I'll tell you that. But fun to watch.
You're
fun
happy, but only so happy.
That's right.
Which I understand. And now, tell me if I've completely misread this, but you go in there with the Cooey team filling in for Kevin.
For BJ.
BJ was in there, but you're like the rook with the grizzled vets.
Yeah,
how did that go?
It was a load of fun. It was Benny was calling me the rook all week.
Oh, he was,
of course,
okay.
Naturally. But it was awesome. I mean, just to surround yourself with guys like that. I mean, Ben's won four Briars. He's went to two Olympics. Cooey's won three or four Briars. He went to Olympics. I mean, those are two of the best players to play the game in history, much less the last 20 years. And to surround yourself with that persona and kind of understanding how they go about their business and how they think about the game, it really gave me confidence moving forward too, to realize that we can play at that level, get some of the small things from them and move forward and become, you know, one of those elite teams in the country too. So hopefully we can give Dunstone a run for his money and they can give us a run for our money, and we can kind of continue pushing it forward and finally win that Brier one of these years.
So what we all want as a province, right?
Hey,
clearly. So the Community Rocks Junior Tour, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we've done it now with our curling team for, I think, 8 years. We've done, so what we do is we go around to three communities in Saskatchewan putting on junior curling clinics. So Core Grain Community Rocks Tour presented by Crescent Point has been our sponsor for about 8 years. We go into small communities, we invite the whole school out, and we teach curling. We have fun with the kids. We try to, you know, instill some confidence, work ethic in them, but also let them have fun on the curling ice to know that curling is fun and something they can do. And so we've been lucky enough to do that throughout Saskatchewan now for about 8 years. We're going to continue that this year. If someone wants to get in on it, make sure you send an email to our team at myerscurling.ca, and we'll get you applied for that, and hopefully we can get out to your club in Saskatchewan. It's pretty cool. You get, you know, the defending Saskatchewan champions out there hanging out with the kids, kind of getting them excited about curling, and that's what all curling clubs want in the province.
So next up on your calendar is Nova Scotia.
Yes,
is that it?
That's right. So the next Grand Slam, so usually the Grand Slams are kind of spread out a little bit, so they're broadcast nationally on Sportsnet, owned by Sportsnet, but they put a couple back-to-back. So last week was the North Bay Slam that Maddie won, and then on Sunday we leave for the next Grand Slam in Pictou County in Halifax.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Hopefully it's not as snowy as here yet. But we'll see. And then so there's two tiers there. There's the top 15 teams in the world and then the 15th through 30th teams in the world. And it's kind of allows kind of those fringe teams, those up and coming teams, to kind of get that experience in a Grand Slam, get to that next level. So watch that on Sportsnet. I think you gotta watch out for Dunstone again. I mean, we've all seen it when curlers get on a roll. They can be on a roll for quite some time. Like, you know, it's about a month or 2 month window when they can really win a lot of games. I think Dunstone's going to come out firing again. I wouldn't be surprised to see them deep in the playoffs and maybe make another run for it. Cause like I said, I've never seen a curler perform like Maddie did over the last week or so. So when you get your skips hot, anything can happen. So that's my prediction going into the next slam is a very strong team Dunstone that's going to keep riding the wave.
What are the dates again?
November 5th to 10th, I believe they start TV on Sportsnet on the 7th, and then the final will be on the 10th there, and then that'll be the last slam before for a few months before we ramp it up come December.
December, yeah. Well, speaking of whether it'll be snow on the ground or not, our daughter lives out there, and I think it was 17 degrees yesterday. In the Maritimes. Wow. So, yeah, and it's one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been. So, Kirk, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Hey,
how about some sponsor love? Show flex for the camera.
Absolutely. I need Benny to do this with his triceps. We got Atlas Apex Roofing, North Star Industries, Crescent Point Energy, AGI Insurance, Mickles Industries, Caledon Equipment Leasing, Sask Canola, Core Grain, and then Ice Pad, Hardline Curling does our equipment, and Dynasty Curling does our gear. Again, without these companies supporting us, we wouldn't be able to make a push to go win that Brier. So, you know, as all of Saskatchewan knows, we need the financial support to travel around. We spend, like I said on the show before, about 100 days a year on the road spending a lot of money. So, we couldn't do it without these sponsors, and we're just grateful to have them and grateful to represent them where we can. So I appreciate you letting me do that.
You bet, and I'm very proud of them for stepping up. Dupes and I return with Overtime after this. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, for the overtime segment, the overtime refresher. Who named it that? Can I call it The Last Flood for Emerald Water Incorporated? How about that? Sticking a flood on
final
for overtime for Emerald Water. Dupes here one more time, dressed as Kelly Rempel for Halloween.
Where's the two shot? One more.
Are you going out trick or treating tonight?
I might hand out some candy.
Where you live, I bet you'll be inundated.
Yeah. I live across from a school, elementary school.
That's what I'm saying. You'll be inundated. David Larson from Assiniboia are writing us on our Twitter feed, and he says, "I have two season tickets in section 532." He screenshotted the stadium map, I guess, from Ticketmaster for this Saturday's game, Riders and Eskimos. And David says, looks like I'll have lots of room for the last regular season game. Is it the price keeping people away? Weather? Guaranteed Rider playoff? Won't be sold out. CFL is in trouble. That from David in Assiniboia. It comes up every day. I don't want to talk about it every day. It's not a CFL problem. We're starting to hear it in the NHL. You watch those NFL games on Sunday, unless I've completely missed something. And tonight would be a good opportunity to watch. Thursday night football in Arizona. If they show the upper echelons of the stadium, the stadiums aren't sold out. This isn't just a Rider problem.
No.
And as much as I think the Riders would like to just can this talk and the CFL in general, it just keeps coming up because you can't silence people on social media. You can't do it.
Really tough.
No. And I, from what I understand, you know, there's a lot of heat on these teams for lack of sellouts, both here and across the land. I don't know what the reason is. I worked in sports a real long time. It's very hard to go to the people that aren't there and say, why aren't you coming?
Yeah.
It's real easy to go to the people in the venue and say, why are you here? But it's very hard to go out and say, why aren't you coming?
It's hard to find them.
It's hard to reach them. Yes.
You know, it is. And, you know, for this game this weekend, you talk about why it's not a sellout. I think the weather's going to play a huge factor in that. Lots of snow. It's going to be cold. Okay, if we're going to go to one game down the stretch, let's make it the home playoff game, the Western Final or the West Semifinal. I don't think it has anything to do with Edmonton resting their starters and a guaranteed win because fans want to know that the team's going to win when they show up. They want to have a good time. They would love to go and celebrate a win, celebrate, you know, clinching the first first seed in the West in a while. That's going to be important. So I think that aspect, that makes people want to go. The team's going to win, makes me feel good, not going to be disappointed. I think it's mostly the weather and then that X factor, whatever it is that seems to be hurting sports, all the other options that are available, you know, things throughout the weekend. It's not a CFL problem, you're right.
Phil writes in on the Facebook wall and says maybe people are just poorer in this day and age. And I don't believe that's the case. While the economy's not great, people are just deciding what to do with their money. When 80,000 people buy Garth Brooks concert tickets, when 33,518 show up for the NHL Heritage Classic, and then an additional 15,401 for the junior game, they got the money.
Oh, I got the money.
They are just deciding what to do with their money. So you got to work a little harder to get people into your venue. That's not just the Riders. That's all across pro sports. That's you got to make entertainment the thing. And by the way, I got my Rider season tickets. I love it. I love it. So I can't even speak for the people that aren't going. I don't know why they're not going.
Mm-hmm. It's you know, when it is a money thing, there's more opportunities, just more options to spend your money. When I can, you know, just I don't have to go to the store. I can go on Amazon and be like, oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. There's more options for, you know, $5 coffees and things like that that we can have every day. There's more opportunity to spend our money.
It's choices.
But it's choices. It's choices and how you want to spend your money and you want to spend your time. And for whatever reason, it's less and less on sports.
Sheldon writes in, and I believe he's in Estevan, and he says, it is the cost to take a family out to an event. BS. No, it's not. Because you're not going to a Pats game. They dropped from 6,400 down to under 3,000, I think, now. $20 a ticket at the most. You can take your family. You don't. So don't say it's about cost. It's not. I remember last year in January, the Pats were playing in Moose Jaw on a Saturday afternoon. It was on Sportsnet. And there were acres of empty seats in Mosaic Place. And I put a photo of it on Twitter, and I can guarantee you the Warriors weren't that happy that I did. I was just trying to point out, where is everybody? And I got everything from, it's too cold, it's a bad start time, we see the Pats too often. It was excuse, 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 excuse. And then that night, 15,000 show up at SaskTel Center when it was minus 42 to watch the Rush.
It's about what you
for
want.
For more expensive tickets, you got to drive further to go playing the New England Black Wolves. Oh, what a rival. Who cares? It's about the event and getting people in the building, and the Saskatchewan Rush are marketing geniuses, aren't they?
Yeah.
They absolutely are.
I mean, they've created a party.
It's not about cost. It's about what you want to do with your money.
Yes, absolutely. It is. It's about what you want to do with your money and with your time. And that was a big question about baseball yesterday and why we're not watching baseball games, which can extend to be up to 4 hours. Lacrosse has got it pretty good. It's 2 to 2.5 hours. Hockey's getting better at speeding up the game. But in a three-hour football game or more, geez, in 3 hours, I could watch 2 episodes of my favorite show or 3 episodes binge watch that, and I could do the dishes and I could take care of this and I could, you know, do all these other things in that one window for the same amount of money. So I can experience so many other things. I think that's part of it. It's how we want to spend our time and money, and there's a whole lot more options available. So we have to stop trying to get every dollar we can out of the fans and try more to create the experiences that they want to be a part of and make them fall in love with the game again. And I think that's so important that we market to the kids. It keeps coming back to that.
Well, I don't know. I think a lot more about this than the NHL than I do for the CFL or the WHL. I'm talking about Canadian sports leagues. But tickets have never been higher. Television rights fees have never been higher. Yet teams have never been cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the way they pay their staff, the way they reward the fans. It's gone too far.
It's gone way too far.
It's got to come back.
It's got to come way back.
We got to go. We are out of time. We are out of time. Tomorrow is a Football Friday. I've got no clue who's going to be on the program, and that's just fine. Tune in tomorrow for the surprise. And thank you, Remps.
Yeah, happy Halloween.
That's right.
We got candy in the bunker here that we're going to hand out and to you and me, probably. That's all that's left.
The sharks are circling in the waters here. Looks like something important coming up after the show. So
yeah.
We're done. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.